What's going on, everybody? Paul Hickey here with nooffseason.com. I've got the full crew in the house with me today. We've got Lefty McKee, Duke Denny, one-time Dotson of Graybo's, the sports card Dr. Chad Gill, and actually backstage, we have a special new team member for nooffseason.com. Her name is Sonia, so she's going to be helping me out with a lot of stuff we've got going on, hopefully making our entire operation here at nooffseason.com and the sports card strategy show that much stronger for all of you, the audience. So before we jump in today's show, we need to talk about Graybo's sports cards. They are a local hobby shop owned by Gray Burnett, Ryan Fitz, and Duke Denny, one-time Dotson, who is on the show with us today as a co-host. They are located in the Arts District of Richmond, Virginia. Graybo's sports the best selection of raw and graded singles in the Mid-Atlantic and a wide variety of wax. Of course, listeners of the Sports Card Strategy Show, all of you can receive 10% discount on any purchase at graybos.co by entering the code STRATEGY2023. Graybo's now breaks on the Drip app 5 nights a week, including baseball, basketball, football, and even wrestling breaks. Might have Denny one time talk to us about all of that coming up here in the show. And if you use the link in their IG bio at Graybo's_cards, you can get a $15 credit after your first purchase on Drip. So that's just how Drip works. You have to make a purchase, but Graybo's wants to give you that that $15 credit. So definitely make sure that you check that out. And again, Graybo's sports cards, get 10% off at graybos.co. Use the promo code STRATEGY2023. Of course, at the top of every episode, we also remind you that you can get unlimited personalized advice at nooffseason.com to build your sports card investment portfolio. Just get a free 30-day trial to start at nooffseason.com. And then, of course, we're going to talk a little bit more about why you should stay subscribed after your free trial period. A lot about that on today's episode. All right, fellas, before we jump into L of the Week, let's go around the horn to the audience. So Borusky's in the house. Good morning, Mr. Ryan Borusky. Brian Steeler 714. We've got Cleo Cards. That's been a new name that is becoming more and more of a regular in the chat. So welcome to Cleo Cards. Jason Miyasaki. Good to see Jason. Jason is a loyal subscriber to the website at nooffseason.com. Been a subscriber for a couple years now. So we appreciate Jason. Jason's going to get a premium pack, which we're going to talk about more on today's episode. SSI in the house. Southern Soccer.
My brother.
Chad Gill is breaking the third wall by being on the show and chatting. Gotta love that. Craig's Cards 11. Buckeye Dill, Leslie Alegria, Shoes is Better Half. So, yes, four dudes. We'll talk about cards today, Leslie. And it's good that you are representing the females in the hobby. So, good work. Buenos dias to you as well, Buenos Leslie. Lefty, over to you, man. How are you doing, brother? Good to see you.
Oh, man, I'm doing all right. College baseball is in season, man. It's just so fun to watch. Just the super regionals. I mean, it's a blast.
Yeah, my son's been watching it like crazy, and it's super fun. So a couple of 2023 draft picks probably for LSU that are.
Oh, yeah, dude. Those two studs crazy at LSU are so fun to watch, you know, and they pitched to him yesterday and they shouldn't have.
And then doesn't LSU have a 2024 like is Jack Coglione or something like that?
Dude, they just got tons of dudes. They got tons of dudes.
Yeah, a couple of 2024 picks too. So I'm sure. So Brian Steeler 714 and all of you Bowman people out there, that's obviously coming in the next several months, I'm sure, from Lefty. And speaking of that, Lefty, tell us real quick. You've got a baseball card strategy show coming up. What do you got planned for that one? When is it?
I got it on Thursday, 2 p.m. Eastern, and I'm going to interview Colby Olson, who's our analytics and statistical analysis guy at justbaseball.com, and nice. We're going to run through how do you find diamonds in the rough based on stats. We've covered it just a bit, but it's been a long time since we've covered that at Sports Card Strategy Show, so I'm going to have the computer Colby come in and just dice up some stats and talk about some wins that we've made personally. And that's how we found Indy Rodriguez. So, if we can find more of those dudes coming out of the rough. So
That's Colby. Awesome. Can't wait to hear from Colby the computer and Lefty on Thursday. Be sure to check that out. Duke, what's up with you, man? How you doing? What's up at Graybo's? How's everything going for you?
Things are great here, man. Had a good weekend. Hopefully the NBA Finals finishes tonight. I got a little, larger wager on the Nuggets to win in six or less. So we're trending in the right direction there. Things at Graybo's are good, man. Rolling on the Drip app, 5 nights a week. Last week, you know, week's our first full week. And so obviously with anything new, you're learning and taking your lumps. But so far, so good. And very excited to kind of keep building out the kind of online breaking that we're doing.
For sure. We'll talk more about that. Also, I'm going to be there on this Saturday. It's already here.
It's coming. Yeah, I'm excited.
I'll be there in person. We're going to do some cool stuff. We've got a class planned for some kids to learn about valuing sports cards and, you know, kind of maybe treating it a little bit more like a business, or at least learning more about the business side of it. And just obviously we're going to have a lot of fun on Saturday with some other stuff we'll do in the shop. So if you're around the area, if you're within driving distance at all of Richmond, Virginia, you should check that out. Chad, are you going to drive down from Wisconsin? What's that, like a 12-hour drive probably from where you are?
To the National?
No, to Graybo's this weekend.
To Graybo's? Yeah, that would be probably a good 14-hour ride for me.
Okay, 14-hour.
He didn't say no, though.
He didn't say no. He's thinking about it. If anybody would do that, it would probably be the sports card doctor.
I'd have to stop in Philadelphia with my sidecar and pick up my boy.
Yes, Borowski.
Oh, good callback.
For sure.
That's a good one.
All right, Chad, we'll get to you, my man. I'm going to jump into my let's stay with you. What's your L of the week, man?
My L of the week is, so for the premium members that read the articles, I put a lot of them out there. One of them was my Jordan Walker submission. And my grades finally popped over the weekend. And I had a 20-card Jordan Walker submission. They're just the Bowman Chrome first base. According to my mathematics, I should have gotten 12 tens and 8 nines. How it actually, and the potential profit was supposed to be $1,000. Clearly, I did not look at these cards well enough before I submitted them. I ended up with 8 tens, 6 nines, and 6 eights. So my estimated profit instead of $1,000 is going to be $250. So I'm still profiting, and that's kind of why I wanted to talk about this as an L. When I do these plays, I hear a lot of people say, well, I can't find all the cards for the price that you put for the raw card. Well, right. These are just estimates. You're going to pay a little bit more, a little bit less. The mathematics say this should happen, but there's enough room in these plays that even when you get a play like this and I get 6 eights when I wasn't supposed to get any, I'm still going to profit about $250. So it's an L only because I was hoping to make a grand, but I'm still profiting. So these are, I put enough wiggle room in these plays that you're still going to make some money.
Hey, Lefty, isn't this great, man? Like when you and I started this show, like, did we ever think that an L would be profiting 250? I mean, I'm just listening to Chad and I'm like, his L is that he's only profiting 250.
Dude, we would have celebrated all the whole show off of profiting 250.
I mean, my wins were like, Lefty, I made like $12.
I didn't lose $3,000. Only a grand.
I didn't lose $750.
Jeez.
Chad's the man. I love it. That's good stuff though. You're right. I mean, good point in there is that you can't always find the card for the amount that we put in the article, but we probably, Chad does an amazing job, and we've got some other guys too contributing content. Mike Miller, Ryan Painter, Kendall contributes content. And everybody does a good job of the disclaimers and stuff, I think too, but that probably is a disclaimer. Like I should probably add as the editor of like, hey, you know, it's not always going to be that you can find, these are based on recent comps. It's not going to always be that you find the card for that price, but we've added links in the articles to the eBay searches for the cards that Chad and others are writing about. So we want to try to make it turnkey for you guys to join the website, read the plays, and then just click on the links on the eBay listings to get like the closest listings that we can find. Over, that Chad,
over one.
Over, there's over. One. Denny, do you have a bet on over under for Chad's lights yet? Have we done that? We need to start a
profit. FanDuel has it at 2.5.
Okay.
Ooh.
Denny,
that's a good line. That is a good line.
2.5. That's tough though, because see, that's that's Duke just knowing betting right there, because it's usually about 2 to 3 times, and it's I'm not sure the actual number. So that's
take the under on 2.5.
Tough line. All right,
I'm gonna bet the over.
Duke, Denny, one time Dotson. What's your L of the week?
My L of the week was as a new card shop, you know, you start a card shop, you think, hey, I'm just going to call a distributor and they're going to sell me product. And that's just not how the world works in this business, unfortunately. So we do have 2 distributor relationships set up, but we're still not getting like all the premium stuff right when it comes out. So we go through alternate channels to find like the brand new stuff at times. And so like we did it successfully with Bowman U Inception, got a couple cases of that, but we were supposed to get a case of Bowman U Chrome basketball and, paid a guy way in advance because that's the way we can get it. We could, if we pre-buy it from these guys, then we're like first on their list when it comes. They send it to us and we'll usually get a pretty good deal. And the case of Bowman U Chrome never got to that guy, so we never got it. So he refunded the money. Like, we'll get the money back. That's not the thing. But people like you were reaching out saying, hey, can I get some of the Bowman U Chrome? And we didn't get any. And so that time is come and gone. And now everyone wants the next new thing, and they'll probably forget about that product pretty soon.
Yeah, that is tough. It's good perspective to hear from you on that too. Cause again, Graybo's is in the first year. They opened in February. They're doing a great job, but I mean, as many of you know, it's you have to buy a lot of the wax that the companies want you to buy in order to get the stuff that everybody really wants. And so, but yeah, to Duke's point, it's like, it happens so fast. Like a new product comes out and then it's amazing how quickly people lose interest. So that kind of ties into a lot of our content here on the show, is that we really talk about, it's not always the best play to rip the latest wax or buy the latest wax as a sports card strategy. Sometimes it is, but it can definitely be an L of the week from both a audience perspective and a card shop perspective. So glad to get that from Duke. Lefty, you're up, man. What's your L of the week? Was it profiting $250 or was it something different?
No, I mean, it was profiting in some degree, but not $250. So I tried to make a play on this card right here. This L of the week for me was a Sokka card. I typically lean away from nines, and I'm going to talk a little bit about this in the future, but this is an out of 99 silver Prism Auto of Sokka. I ended up buying it early in February or March, I believe. And I bought it for around $300 raw. And so when I sold it, for $295 on eBay. So I'm going to lose about $20 to $30 in what I had into it, because I tried to make a play of Arsenal winning the Premier League and Saka's auto going for more than $300. I had it listed for $500 just in case somebody popped up there for a $400 offer or something like that, I was going to take it. But at this point, I need to move the card. I could hold it and potentially get more than I paid for it next season, or, in the international competitions this summer and stuff like that. But I'd rather have a small loss and have that liquid to move before the national or at the national. So I ended up moving myself out of this Sokka auto. Now I am pending the payment of the eBay offer, but I did accept it last night. So we will move forward. You know, sometimes losing a little bit is better than eating crow and riding that all the way down to the bottom. So learned my lesson there a few times. So
for sure. So this is a common play that I made over the last 2 years. Because, grading was pretty much shut down or impossible to get to without paying a ridiculous amount of money at PSA until like a year ago. So basically for the last year, we've tried to come back around to plays like grading more to profit because they've just, they haven't been as risky. Like again, Chad's point, it's not as risky when you're profiting $250 and that's your L. It's a little bit riskier when you're buying a $300 auto, hoping that it goes up to 400 and it, and you sell it for 295. It's not the end of the world. You can actually keep making plays off of that. So I think what Lefty's doing there is actually really smart. It's like, let's move out of it. Let's get the money back. That's the thing that I like about cards versus betting or fantasy sports. I used to be huge into fantasy sports. And cards is scratching the itch for me in a better way because you still have the asset. You didn't really loot, like you lost the bet, but you actually still get a fresh chance at the bet. So I like what Lefty's doing there. Speaking of fantasy sports, before I get to my card L of the week, I do have a fantasy sports L of the week. And our good friend of the show, Rob Masora in the house.
What's up,
from
man?
Bob's Card Market. Good to see you, brother. Great friend, the card treasury on eBay. You got to check him out. He's super knowledgeable. He's made great submissions to the Sports Card Strategy Show and Tell on like how he organizes and ships his cards. He uses a software program called Chronozio, which we've become a affiliate partner of. We're going to start promoting that a little bit more because it's really, really nice in terms of organizing and shipping your cards. And so anyway, Rob, my L is an apology to Rob because the awesome fantasy baseball league that he put together, I have just totally pooped my pants and not participated in that at all. So the W is that I found a co-owner. And so did Kendall. So Chad is going to be Kendall's co-owner. I kind of wish I would have thought to have Chad be my co-owner.
Got him.
About that. But I did find a friend of mine from college to be my co-owner, and apparently he's into fantasy baseball. So that should be fun to reconnect with him. So thanks, Rob, for all the hard work you do on that fantasy league. And yeah, appreciate all your support, man. Okay, so don't forget to check out bobscardmarket.com as well. There's a lot of great stuff happening in the Discord. A lot of you are on the Discord, audience members. And if you're not, you should check it out. Okay.
Mention one more thing about the fantasy league?
Yeah.
All things aside, both of us had a pretty horrible year, but I did come out on top and beat Paul. That's all that matters.
Congratulations. That's awesome. And I do have Ellie De La Cruz, I think.
You do.
I have like all of Kendall's top prospects. Basically, yeah. I just went in and just drafted a bunch of minor leaguers.
Indy, Manzardo, Morel, Encarnacio Strand, De La Cruz.
CES Jack is coming Leiter. Up soon, I think. CES is probably, yeah, Jack Leiter.
CES is coming up soon. That is definitely. And
he's starting to hit, right?
Dude, he's a baller. Yeah. This Reds team is going to be so fun to watch.
Yeah. So
that's for Thursday.
So my fantasy team should be okay now that I got my co-owner. And if my co-owner sucks, I'm going to get Duke. I'm going to recruit Duke to be my next co-owner.
Danny, one time.
Right. FanDuel has Chad as a heavy favorite over me. I'm just saying.
Okay. All right. Well, then.
I'll take that.
That's good. I'm taking Duke then if Chad's the favorite. Going for the underdog. All right. My L of the week. Speaking of some underdogs. So last week I went through some L's and some W's from my March crack and grade, and I bought a lot of SGC, CSG, and HGA. And going back to last week, a lot of them were revolving around SGC. So this week it's more revolving around CSG and HGA. And I'll probably recap this on the overflow show like all at once. Once I get through all of these, I'll probably recap them all at once, have like a total profit or loss type of a thing. As we talked about on last week's show, I took way more risks than Chad takes and that Chad advises. And I was literally like texting Chad as I was buying cards. And he was like, whoa, like settle down. Don't buy that one. Here's why. Like, too late. I already bought that, you know? So it's just a learning process. But like some of these, so these are the L's. This Magic CSG 8 got a PSA 5. So I lost $70. That sucked. Well, I haven't sold it yet, but I project to lose the $70. This Michael Jordan, I bought raw at a show. Apparently these Skybox 1990 Michael Jordans like are super hard to grade. Cause I thought this looked like a 10 at the show. Granted, I didn't have a loop or I didn't have a tool or anything like that. So I was kind of an idiot for thinking it would be a 10 without a loop or a ruler or anything, but I'm also not going to like in a, from like a value box, sit there and like have a loop and a ruler. I would love to hear from somebody in the audience, like if they, if they sit at a value box with a loop and a ruler, cause I would want to have them on the show. Cause I think that's pretty badass, but like, I'm not going to do that. So
no shame there. They're just diving in.
It looks slightly off centered.
Yeah. Slightly off centered. You're right. So it, but it's an eight. So anyway, I think I'm going to lose $11. Not the end of the world, but nobody.
Is there a dimple in the orange line? About a centimeter to the right of his ear.
You can see that. That's amazing. We're looking at a, we're looking at a photo that is minimized on a graphic, and Kendall can see a dimple. Probably, probably. And that's why it's an eight, because what I've noticed from this, these grading exercises is like, I'll tell you this. I cracked a bunch of them that I didn't like the grade. And I haven't gotten into that content yet, but I will. And I cracked a bunch of them where I didn't like the grade. And then I looked at the card closer and I started to see surface flaws that I didn't see the first time I put them in to get graded. So you're probably right, Lefty.
Well, I have a dumb question. Can I ask a dumb question? Because I'm not as skilled in the cracking and submitting as you guys are. Can you not send it to PSA and say only crack it if it's this grade or higher?
Well, yes. Sorry, you could take this, Chad. Go ahead.
No, the answer, that's a crossover grade where you send it in the actual holder. What we're talking about is where we physically crack them ourselves and send them in as raw cards.
But why would you do? Why would you not do the former? Why would you do the latter?
Because of the prejudice money that you might have of the other grading company.
Yeah,
in this case, the prejudice would have helped because it was an eight, right?
But not necessarily.
Also more expensive.
Not it necessarily
is, with the CSG thing. Yeah.
The I've had much better success. I've actually had cards where I send them in to have them crossed over, and I'm like, there's absolutely no way that should not have gotten higher. Cracked it, and sent it back, and gotten higher grades. I rarely, if ever, will send it for a crossover grade. You're almost always better off cracking it out and sending it in.
Gotcha. And I crack them and put them in bulk submissions. So instead of $60 or something for a crossover grade, it's $14 or $15.
Okay. The price is way different. Gotcha.
Yeah. And I'm glad you asked, Duke, because we sometimes talk about something on a show and then think that everybody heard it and knows about it. And we don't hammer the point home enough, but that's a great point. So there's a bunch of different options when you're submitting the PSA. A lot of times people will think, okay, I just want PSA to crack it for me because it's going to be safer. I don't want to deal with it myself, blah, blah, blah. All that makes sense. But I've had the same experience Chad's had. Whenever I've done that, it hasn't necessarily worked in my favor. When I've cracked them myself and sent them into PSA, A, you pay less. So to Lefty's point, you can put them in bulk submissions and get them in at $19 a card versus when you send it in the slab from the other grading company, I think you have to pay $50 per card. So there's that, which obviously is huge.
Time.
And then you've got the ability to look at the card yourself raw, right?
Yeah.
So you can look at the card yourself raw, and then you can determine, do I even want to send it in? You know, ideally you should do that before you crack it out of the slab, because then you can just, I mean, it's easier to just resell an SGC9 if you don't like the way it looks when it comes to you. I'm going to start doing that. I think that's actually one of the points I want to make from this whole exercise, is that some things I'm going to do differently based on these L's is I'm going to, when I get the slab in the SGC or the CSG or HGA or whatever, if I don't think it's going to get the grade that I thought it was going to when I bought it online at PSA, I'm just probably going to sell it as is instead of going through the effort to crack it and submit the PSA. I'm going to be more selective. And then even if I do think it's going to get the grade, I'm going to still inspect it way better than I've been inspecting it and try to see if I can improve my own personal gem rate, because I haven't done anything. I've basically just always, oh, well, I bought this to do this thing. I'm going to follow through with what I originally intended. That's kind of been my mentality. But I think with this specific exercise, like you're shooting yourself in the foot if you do that. I think you have to have like a checks and balances along the way. Chad, would you agree with that? Like you got to maybe just say, well, I thought this one was going to be a PSA 10 or a PSA 9. But now that I see it, I think I'm going to do something different with it.
Half of the cards I buy online to do this, I resell as is, because when I look at them, they're not what I thought they were.
Yeah. And you, and to clarify that, Chad doesn't crack and then sell raw because he doesn't believe in that. I would say you, what you're saying is if you buy a CSG 8 and you thought it was going to get a PSA 9, but then when you get it, you're like, ooh, this could be lower than a PSA 8 or whatever. You're saying you just sell it as the CSG 8, right?
Yeah. If you're on my eBay store and you see me selling a card that is not PSA graded, it is because I bought it to cross it over and it does not look like it will. So I am selling it as is in the grade and the company that I purchased it at.
Tell everybody your eBay store name again so they can check out what you have.
Well, I don't know how to get, you always have that link to figure out how to get there, but it's, I'm, my user is UK_cats_1. My actual eBay store name is Chalk, CHALX cards.
So I tested that, and you can just, it's ebay.com/USR/ either of the two things that you just said, basically. Yeah,
Chalk is the initials of myself and my four kids.
CHALK?
Yeah, CHALX. X is for Xavier.
Xavier, yeah. He's been on the show and tell. He's a frequent submitter to the show and tell with Chad. So this is a good one, though. So W of the week, Anthony Edwards Prism Silver 2020. This is a big one. So bought HGA 9.5. Prism Silver for $323 in March, cracked it, submitted it to PSA at $19. PSA 10 goes for $550. Not going to sell it until the basketball hype cycle season, probably in October. Should be a $227 profit. I could gamble. I could parlay this, Duke, and see if maybe I get a little bit more than that. We'll see. But anyway, that's my W of the week. So speaking of Duke, over to you. What's your W of the week, man?
So my W was, last time I talked to you guys, I'd sold two of my three indie cards, sold the third one. So we did well on all three indie cards. But then last month you guys were hyping up Ellie, bought three big Ellie's, like a one to 250 and two to 499 autos, PSA 10s, and, sold Thanks, all three son. Successfully. Woulda, coulda, shoulda, you always kick yourself. Cause the third one I sold on the Friday before he got called up, and obviously his prices jumped even further when he got called up. But we, you know, very happy to make a profit in all three. And the third one we sold is like to a lifelong Reds fan, local guy, came in the shop. And you could tell it's like a big purchase for him. And he was so excited about it. And then we've been like messaging on Instagram every time he gets a base hit or hit his first home run. This kid's really excited. So I was happy that he has a card that he is just in love with. And so big shout out to Lefty. I mean, Lefty, it's going to put my kids through college. So thank you, Lefty.
Lefty in the Denver Nuggets, Mike, it sounds like.
Let me put it to you this way, though. Like, we're suggesting these things, and Duke goes out and buys three cards that have significant investment in them. Those cards that he bought from Ellie De La Cruz, I don't know how much they cost, but I know how much an Ellie De La Cruz auto costs. So he had to spend a lot to get a lot. And that is not a lot of what people assume. They assume that we do every single time we take it from $5 to, you know, $1,000 or something like that. That's just unrealistic and pretty rare. You know, we did that a couple times with some of the plays we've made over the past couple of years. But for the most part, we're spending money to win money here. And so, Duke, I want to take a time to gas you up a little bit, saying you trusted us enough to like put your irons in the fire and made a win, but you had to risk it. So I commend you for that.
Yeah. And the thing I like about Duke too is he will go out and buy the cards that people want. I think, you know, I'm not trying to rag on hobby shops, but some of the hobby shops I've been to around the country, just on my family trips and stuff, kind of ducking in, seem to just sort of have whatever they happen to have pulled, you know, like it's like whatever they happen to have pulled, they have in their showcases. It's obvious to me that that's what they're doing. Cause they're just not, they're not always like the most desirable cards that we're talking about or that you can get online. But like for Duke to have a card like that in the shop, I mean, it clearly tells me that he's going out and getting the cards in the shop and at Graybos.co that people want, which is, you know, that's going to be, I think that's, even though it's like, it's tough to start a new hobby shop and it's tough to start any new business, get it off the ground, but that they're going to win in the long term for sure, just based on having the selection of cards that people actually want. So good work. Chad, you might be profiting off of, like Lefty said, like buying a card for $5 and flipping it for $200 all the time. What's your win of the week?
My win of the week is another one of my plays. I did my Ellie De La Cruz play. I wished I would have gotten him back to before he got called up. However, it worked out really well because I've got a contact in Ohio that has a little sports card shop, and he's a huge Ellie fan. And I ended up selling my whole entire PSA submission order to him. So as soon as they get here, I'm putting them back in the mail and sending them directly to him. But people have asked, can you mix and match? I had a 30 card Ellie De La Cruz. Oh, here's number two. My over is looking pretty good right now.
Borusky the over. Borusky said earlier in the chat that he bet the over. So we just need one more.
So anyways, I did 30 cards. I did 10 of the Bowman first edition paper base, 10 of the Chrome first, and then I did 10 of the Mega Box. And I wasn't, because I didn't do 20, I was looking at it and I'm thinking out of the 30, I was hoping to get 16 PSA 10s. I'm happy to report I got 21. Nice. I got seven nines and two eights. And on this whole entire order, after I get done shipping them to the card shop in Ohio that is buying all 30 of them, I will have profited about $1,600.
Cool. So his L is profiting $250 and his W is profiting $1,600. There needs to be like an official sports card PhD certificate given to the doctor. Amazing. Just
follow the plays. Everybody can make money off of these too.
Subscribe to nooffseason.com. That's where all the plays are. You just need to get a free 30-day trial. Stay subscribed past your 30-day trial. Get a premium pack. We'll talk about more about that in a second. Before we get to Lefty's W, couple things in the chat. So we will definitely, so Chloe cards, we'll definitely, Duke and I will make sure that we capture the content from the class that we're doing for kids on how to value a sports card, how to treat it as a business kind of thing. We'll put that on YouTube for sure. So glad you mentioned that. That'll be a W for sure for everybody. Check the chat. Craig's cards 11, looking to buy something, looking to buy a 2020. Actually, Duke, do you have a 2020 Burrow Prism Silver PSA 10 that you want to sell to Craig's cards 11 right now on the show?
I don't think I have that exact card. We have a couple of Burrows we picked up this week, but not that one. But I certainly can keep my eye out for Mr. Burrow.
Sounds good. Craig's cards 11. Good stuff. Borusky, you like the Magic card? I'll tell you what. It's yours. I am giving you the Magic card, Borusky. You are going to get a premium pack. We're going to explain later in the show why you're getting a premium pack and why others are getting a premium pack. But I'm going to put that Magic 1981 Topps PSA 5 in your premium pack. So congratulations. And thanks for your support of the show. That's awesome. Craig's Cards 11 sounds like they had a win of the week as well. Sold Ellie Orange Mega Auto PSA 10. 10 card 10 auto last week. 3X. That's amazing. Good work, Craig's cards 11.
Love to see it.
Lefty, you called Ellie, man. You called Ellie. You called Endy. What's your win of the week?
I mean, it's honestly a gift to watch people sell for more than they did.
Right.
But honestly, like Endy or Ellie wasn't. I don't feel like that's fair to say I called him. He's like the greatest minor leaguer of all time. Like it was really obvious. You were
way
early,
but like way before any. I know it's obvious to you, but that's why you do this, because it's obvious to you and it's not obvious to everybody else. And you said it way before anyone. Like, you remember when you and T bought the 2022 Bowman case and I bought half of it from you? And I was like, who's in the thing? And you were like, Ellie De La Cruz. And like, not that many people have heard about, like, no one was thinking about Ellie De La Cruz when you told me that. That was, it's just, you're just early. You're earlier than everybody else. So good work.
Thank you. There will be more to come. So there will be more of those. My win of the week involves one of those that I am still excited about that hasn't reached the major leagues yet. But I want to talk first about, I teased college baseball earlier this week. Earlier in the show, Quinn Matthews, win of the week, I think. He did something amazing last night, throwing 156 pitches, 16 strikeouts as Stanford beat Texas last night. Like, this guy was drafted by the Rays last year in like the 12th or 15th round or something like that. Or actually, I think it was maybe even later than that. Anyway, regardless, he didn't take the money, went back to Stanford to lead this team, and goes 156 pitches. That hasn't even been done in the major leagues in a long time. The last time somebody went even close to that was in 2013, when Tim Lincecum went a complete game into the 140s. So, I mean, this is unprecedented in our game. The kid knew his risks. He wrote his thesis about Tommy John surgery. So, like, I just thought it was a cool spectacle to watch. W of the week is watching a kid that probably is going to have a hard time making it to the major leagues because he's an older senior now. He doesn't have anything that's like a wipeout slider or something like that. This was his World Series last night, his last game at Stanford in the Super Regional. And he went as far, and you were going to have to literally pry him off that mound. So that's just cool to cool to watch. So I'll be looking for some Quinn Matthews draft stock in the future to potentially it's just a cool card that maybe if Winnie has a Bowman someday, I'll buy one just because what a gamer. You know, you just love to see that. Messi to the MLS. This is absolutely huge. So Messi to the MLS, I think, will change the investment market for soccer cards in the United States. I've been banging this drum for a long time, but I think MLS cards will now, I mean, think about how many parallels and prints the MLS is going to have of Messi. I think this really will and change the American landscape for soccer. We have a 2026 World Cup coming in. You know, there's so many markers over the next couple of years about how soccer market will grow. And as an investor and as somebody who sees money in things, like sees opportunity, I see opportunity here and I don't want us to miss out. Like, this soccer card strategy, potentially, I mean, there's going to be 1.5 million ways to do it. But Messi coming to the MLS, just American prices and soccer up and to the right. Like, there's just no way that the MLS and soccer card investing does not grow, because the one, I would venture to say, the greatest soccer player of all time is going to come and be a part of the MLS. And then when he's done, he has the opportunity to own an MLS team. So it's not like this is going away. It's not going to be as Zlatan Ibrahimovic, where he comes for, you know, a year or two and then goes back. This is something that's here to stay. I'm super, super pumped that Messi's coming to the MLS. I don't even care if he's not on my team. It's gonna help the whole league. And so there's rumors that the entire league, like every single franchise, put money forward to get Messi here, which is unprecedented. This will change not only the card market, but I think it will change contracts going in the future. Adidas gave him a partial of his contract of jersey sales. The Apple gave him part of the app of the TV revenue and subscriptions revenue from him coming over here. Like, there's crazy parts of this contract. So I know that's not necessarily like directly related to card news, but I think it will dominate the future of soccer card investing, and we could see this change the landscape. So just get in. I think you can make a play now by buying some vintage MLS cards, so that when people start getting into it, they look into saying like, oh, I'd rather have this car. Oh, what about this guy? You know, like, and some stuff like that. So I think there's an opportunity here in a lot of different ways to make some money off of American soccer. So
Yeah, I mean,
go ahead.
I think we probably all want to comment on this. I'm going to go first. And to the last point you just made, in like February 2021, everyone was buying, like, when everything was blowing up, everyone was started to buy like Kevin Garnett, Dwayne Wade, like great Hall of Fame NBA, like Allen Iverson, but the more ancillary guys like Charles Barkley, Karl Malone. I mean, it's weird to call them like fringe guys because they're all amazing, yeah. But they're not Jordan, Kobe, and LeBron, you know? And so people started to prospect, if you will, for lack of a better term, the Shaqs of the world. Like, will Shaq's cards go up because all these other cards? So I think that's a good parallel to what you're saying in terms of going out and buying maybe some vintage MLS stuff based on the Messi coming. The other thing I just want to add is, like, yeah, when you think of Messi being in an MLS set, it definitely changes the game related to buying MLS cards in the future with him being that in there. And lastly, like, my son was like, man, you know, like, we're going to be able to see him play in Nashville. And I was like, holy crap. Like, that's, yeah, like, that's pretty cool. And that's a game changer. Chad, I saw you kind of nodding your head with what Lefty was saying about some of the Messi stuff. What do you think?
Yeah, I'm going to keep this a little bit more simple. Lefty's digging deep for you, which is awesome. Buy Messi cards, period. Messi is going to blow up in the United States. He's going to blow up anything that we thought we knew about soccer. It's going to the moon. And when that happens and Americans start looking at cards, yeah, there'll be some fallout to the men's national team and some MLS, you know, vintage, but nothing is going to profit better than the actual Messi cards themselves. So if you want the safest, easiest, profitable way to get into soccer, just buy Messi.
Thank God for Chad, because Lefty and I, like, we tend to go deep. And we've actually, like, before Chad even joined the show, Lefty and I would have conversations on the show about, like, why don't we just do the stuff that's right in front of our nose? Like, we go too deep and we look at, like, oh, well, what about over here? What about over there? Because it's not as obvious. But I like how Chad's just kind of bringing us all back to, well, yeah, you guys are right. But, like, what's really going to work is just buy Messi cards. So, well said. Well said. Duke, do you have anything to add? What's your take on the Messi to Miami?
Well, I don't pretend to be a soccer expert. Like, I'm followed baseball, basketball, football way more. But if just watching trends of people coming in the shop, if I had to bet on two sports now, if I was buying like an entire sport as a stock as opposed to individual players, I would buy football, American football, and then soccer football. Just based on what kids are saying when they come in the shop, you know, do you have Joe Burrow? Do you have Joe Burrow? Like, they all love football. And then we have way more soccer fans here than I ever thought, and way more soccer card buyers than I would have thought. When we opened our shop, we didn't even have a soccer section, and now we do. And things like this will make it even more mainstream. So I defer to you guys on the soccer because I don't follow it as much.
SSI in the house. I'm glad Messi's coming. I don't know how long he will put up with that garbage team he's going to. Inter Miami barely beat my hometown team in the U.S. Open Cup last week and dead bottom in MLS.
Yeah. SSI, you're so right. Messi has to bring more quality to Miami because Miami's team is a train wreck. And but with some other players that are coming in with Messi, there's some big names that are also coming to play with Messi. And I think that will continue. I think players will want to come and play with Messi.
It's the LeBron effect.
Yeah. He's going to create a super team. I think if Miami clears shop a little bit and lets Messi kind of call some of the shots here, I think Miami will be very good down the road. But my other win of the week, sorry, that took us way off, is
that's okay.
I did a similar to what Chad was talking about his bulk submission. I did a bulk submission of Spencer Jones PSAs. It will be back on Tuesday. It's already in the mail. But I think this is interesting because it was a bulk submission that came back in less than 30 days. So, I mean, like, that's pretty incredible. It really couldn't have played off better for me because Spencer Jones, the play here was making, for those who don't remember it or didn't catch the show, the play that I'm making here is there are no autos of Spencer Jones that are not redemptions that are Bowman. There are some of them that are Paninis and stuff like that, but the Spencer Jones doesn't have autographs out right now. He's a really hot prospect and will continue to be a hot prospect. I think he could be one of the next guys that we end up profiting a ton on here at no offseason. But what I did was I took as many Chromes as I could find between like $8 and $12 and just submitted them all. I did some sort of a pre-work. I actually have some Bowman Chromes that didn't, that I knew wouldn't gem, and so I kept them here. But I sent a submission of Spencer Jones off. Has some Drew Jones actually and Matt Mervis as well in there. But that bulk submission is coming back this week, and so I'm looking to make my first little play like Dr. Chad up here in the top right. So real excited about that. And I as you guys know, I don't look at the grades before I pull them out of the box. So
I can't believe, I don't know how you do that.
If I'm a moniker of patience in this podcast, then Paul is the moniker of impatience, and we can't be more unlike each other in that way.
Yeah, so. We're definitely like, I'm the opposite. As soon as I get the email, I stop everything I'm doing.
Do you use the app on your phone?
It's like the web app. Or is there an actual
app? No, there's an app, yeah.
No, I haven't used the app.
So the app, like once it says like yours have been completed and it clears QA2, it gives you like this pretty cool like Instagram story of all of your cards now. It looks super cool. I love it. Like, I'm like, wow, this is great. I'm never going to use it, but it looks great. You know? So.
Oh, I'm going to use it. I'm going to stop everything I'm doing immediately.
And scroll through 20 pictures of sports cards.
Yeah, I literally, when I get my grades, I go download all the photos. And then I download, this is another difference between Lefty and I, and then we'll get back on track. So like, I consider myself pretty darn organized. So what I do is, when I get my grades, I not only look at the grades, but I download all of the photos. And I name the photos what my title on eBay is going to be for the listing. And then I put them in a folder as to when, and the folder is like June, July, August, like the month when I'm going to list the cards for sale.
That's
and
awesome.
Then when it's that month, I go into that folder. And now all I have to do is copy the title name of the photo, paste it in as the eBay title. And I've got the photos right there. So I don't even have to take any photos of my cards. Boom, there you go. So I'm a little bit, not only am I impatient,
That's pretty awesome.
Hyper organized.
Can I, I'll save you a step there.
Okay. Yeah. There we go. Let's go, Chad.
I'm going to save you a step. I do the exact same thing, only I take the photos and I create my eBay listing and then I just save it as a draft.
Oh, yes. I love that.
That way I don't have to have because I used to do like you did. And then I'm like, why do I have this folder? It's just clogging things up. So now I just go right to eBay. I save it as a draft and then I can go in there and just click live anytime I want.
I love that because now I don't even have to look at the folder on my computer. That's brilliant. I'm going to start doing that. Takes a little bit of extra time up front, but it's a huge, I think it's ultimately a huge time saver because you're just,
for sure. They're already loaded into eBay by the time the cards hit your house. It's awesome.
Absolutely. All right. Real quick before we get to who we're buying, Leslie Alegria in the house, shoes is also known as Mrs. Shoes, although I think Shoes should be Mr. Alegria from now on.
Let's go. Especially with the Women's World Cup going up. Dude, give some ladies some love.
Exactly. And Shoes is in the house, by the way. So Shoes is... all right, back to Leslie. When is the next soccer card strategy show? Sorry, Shoes, we love you. When is the next soccer card strategy show? So Sonia's back in the studio. Sonia's going to work with Lefty on stuff like this to make sure that Lefty stays on top of his game and books the next soccer card strategy show. So Kendall probably doesn't know off the top of his head, but
definitely going to be this summer because with the Women's World Cup coming up, that's something I want to talk about a lot. We're going to talk about the Women's World Cup. We're going to talk about the Men's Gold Cup. There's a huge transaction I don't even have time to get into about the American soccer signing or committing a striker was committing to the United States men's national team. And we'll talk about that in the show. So, but last thing I want to point out, Paul and I are wearing the exact same thing today.
How's that feel? Does it feel like cardboard?
Yeah, it's not great, but it's better than the first one.
L of the week is I just bought kind of the uncomfortable shirts, but then I did buy better shirts that no one else has yet, but they'll get some at Graybo's this weekend and they'll get some at the National. More comfortable shirts coming your way soon. Lefty, I appreciate your support. Even though the shirts kind of feel like cardboard, you're still wearing it. That makes me feel good. And the hat looks great on you.
I'm really, yeah, thanks. Really
glad you're Duke got that. The memo that the cool guys wear blue polos. So Duke and I also are repping each other.
Yeah, I got a Graybo shirt from Duke, which is awesome. The only reason I don't wear it is because I'm like the world's tiniest human being. So I swim in anything that's not like an extra small, which is like really sad.
I will say I was shocked at how small you were when I met you in person.
Very small. Very small person.
So Duke, when he comes in, you'll be like, is this one of our newest kids for the kids show?
Yeah, like,
I'm sorry. That was way low blow.
The kids are gonna be like, why is this kid with a hairy face like, oh, man.
Like you what? Gotta keep a beard. If you shave, they're gonna be so confused.
Very true. Especially if I wear a hat, because then you can't see my gray hair. So, like, it's really it's the beard and the gray hair.
This man worked in the WNBA, and he's out here like one of their kids.
WNBA? WNBA, I have an NBA championship ring, two WNBA championship rings.
Let's go.
All right. Shortest varsity basketball player in the history of Rochester Adams High School. Let's go, baby. Team captain my senior year. All right. I'll tell you, man. People were not buying my card back then, but Lefty, let's keep it on you. This is all just right. The order of how I have the slides on the show. Who are you buying?
Well, this Colton guy. Heath. Paul doesn't even let me like get all the way up to it. He's just like, "Who are you buying? Here's your pictures." Yep. So this is two cards that I made plays on this week. This is a guy that Chad released an article on earlier this week, he was in the article that we released earlier this week. Guys, people are always asking me, where's my next buy? Where's my next prospect? This is the guy I'm looking at to being one of the next guys that pops pretty well. I'm always nervous about buying Detroit Tigers, but Colt Keith has got some incredible numbers, some incredible projectables. And I just to show you kind of what I was talking about here, I shared these pictures with Aram Layton, owner of justbaseball.com. And I just shared them with him. I was like, what do you think? And he said, great investment. So that's enough for me to be excited about it. But Colt Keith is his name, not Keith Colt. And so it's interesting that this is another card.
This is another like O'Neal Cruz.
Yeah. Blunder. Another card that they got backwards, which is pretty funny. I'm just going to start investing in cards that they get wrong because, you know, that's clearly what ends up being in the market.
So actually, to that point, when you list these, put the name both ways in the listing.
Yeah, that's what I did with O'Neal Cruz as well.
Yep. What else?
Paul, I know that you were gone when I popped it, but I got a PSA 10 O'Neal Cruz back in one of my bulk submissions.
Sweet. So. Congratulations.
But yeah, I'm buying Colt Keith. I also am interested in looking kind of like I ask myself every week when we prepare these, go where they ain't. You know, that's something that we talk about a lot. And so I'm like, okay. I try not to get too crazy with it because, you know, like Paul was talking about earlier, we have been susceptible to getting too crazy with it in the past. And then Chad's like, guys, just buy messy cards. Yeah. But I think if I'm looking at this, I would love to buy LeBron cards right now. He had a pretty horrific exit, you know, like it was just bad. And I think over the next couple of months, I'm interested in buying into LeBron. I think LeBron's cards will go up and down as well, not only with his couple of future years or months, but I also think that his price will rise with Bronny doing well as well.
Good point.
So I think like Bronny being in the media will also vault LeBron's cards. And I saw this potential thing out there that it's weird, but LeBron could potentially retire and stay retired for a year. The NBA just like did a rule change where an active player can own a team. Why would they do that? Why would they do that unless LeBron was fixing to buy Vegas?
Yeah, that's just a good point.
Like, what other active player is going to buy a team? They just made a legit rule change to make that a possibility. So
I didn't see that. That's a good call.
So I think that is that's a unique thing. I think LeBron could potentially retire, spend a whole year getting his body right, and then come back with Vegas, pick Bronny with his first pick. I'm just saying, I think it could happen faster than we think it does.
So, love the storyline.
I also would be interested in buying Tiger Woods right now. He's still the GOAT, and his price is pretty bad because of all his injuries. And I like Tiger Woods. I'm interested in looking at that. I'm not saying I'm buying him right now, but he's a guy I'm looking at. And then Shai Gilgeous-Alexander as well. So
SGA. All right, this is a good time to go to Chad. Chad, what do you think about all of what Lefty said, and who are you buying?
I love what Lefty's thinking. That's why we bone stuff off of each other. I think Lefty's, everything he's buying, I can endorse. I am right now, and I just bought one last night because I've been crying in my pillow every night since Lefty told me that he had an O'Neill Cruz Bowman First Auto PSA 10. I hope my son does not watch this episode, but he's been asking me for one for his birthday and Christmas for 2 years. I bought one last night.
Let's go.
Said, when they get below 300, I'm buying one. I got one last night for $300. Super stoked. His birthday's in September, so he is now done for his birthday. But I am buying O'Neill Cruz cards. They are at their bottom. I think with the news that his boot came off and he's starting to walk without his boot, everything that you see about O'Neill from now until he comes back in August is going to be positive news of he's making progress. He's starting to walk. He's starting to throw. He's starting to swing. And that's going to build the hype back up. His cards are at bottom right now. That auto that I bought last night for $300, if you look back 90 days ago, that was a $550 to $600 card. I bought it for $300. I don't see it. Might go down to $275 if you're lucky, but I think they're at the bottom and they're starting to come back up. So anything O'Neill Cruz, buy now.
This is a base auto PSA 10. Bowman First.
Yeah, Bowman First Auto.
Okay, if any of you out there want to get this, make sure in the search that you're doing two different searches. Make sure you search for O-N-E-A-L Cruz in addition to how you actually spell his name, because maybe you can get that for less based on the amount of eyeballs on a listing with the misspelling.
The one I bought last night was O-N-E-A-L.
O-N-E-A-L, yeah. So there you go. So that's not how you spell his name, but that's how they've spelled it on the card. And I think that is also another potential hack to maybe get a lower price versus people who know how to spell his name and are spelling it. I think anytime that there's a discrepancy like that, there's if it's a player that you were going to buy anyway, it's a good opportunity to maybe get a little bit lower price, just because I think that I'm not like overcomplicating this. I just think it's logical that there'd be less eyeballs on that search listing because of that. So anyway, I don't know if I'm right or wrong on that, but probably a good time to go over to Duke Denny one time Dodson for his who we're buying. Chad, did you have anything else on?
No, I was just going to say, you got to be careful too, because I almost bought the wrong damn card. There's a card on there for the one I bought was $350 your best offer. I offered $250. We went back and forth. We agreed at $300, but there's one on there right now for $319 our best offer, but it says PSA 10, but when you look at the card, it's PSA DNA PSA 10.
Yeah, I hate that. People do that.
So it's a Bowman First with an in-person auto, and it's listed as a PSA 10
in-person auto, yeah,
for $319. And I almost made the rookie mistake of buying that stupid card. I actually made an offer. I made an offer at 250 and he countered at 300. And when he countered at 300, I caught it and I quickly declined the offer and thought, oh my God, I almost made a rookie mistake. So be careful doing that as well.
Yeah. Make sure that you see the top certified autograph issue on the card for all of these, because a lot of people will go to the minor league game, get an in-person auto. It's easy to get in-person autos at minor league games. And so I think that that's why I see tons of them in the way that they're listed. It does look like they're a pack pulled auto, but they're not. So Duke Denny one type Dotson, who are you buying?
So a few of friends of mine and customers at the shop, a couple of us threw in money together. We call it the fund. We call it Graybo's Fund One. And so it allows us to kind of buy some bigger cards that we might not buy individually, but gives us a chance to kind of pull our money together and buy some big cards. And it's kind of fun. So we've already bought a couple of quarterbacks, including Josh Allen, Justin Herbert. We actually bought a Lamar, got a good deal on Lamar, who I'm slightly bullish on. And so what I would like to kind of fill it out as far as quarterbacks go would be to get a little bit of Trevor and a little bit of Joe Burrow in there. So that's what we're looking for. You know, you guys talk about seasonality all the time. And obviously, since I got back into the hobby, just watching seasonality, the beautiful thing about this game is that it always adjusts and moves. It's like not the same thing. You can plan for it, but I've already seen the market becoming sharper, like catching on to this buy football in June trend, because we have a lot of 12, 14-year-old kids come in here and they're asking for all these guys. And so I don't think we're getting as like bottom pricing on these guys as I would hope, but I still think that these quarterbacks will go up between now and the beginning of the season. So for now, I think I'm still sticking to the quarterbacks for the next couple of weeks and would hope to snag a Trevor and a Joe.
I think that's smart. I think it's still the pocket, but it's interesting to hear that the market's wising up, sharpening up, as you put it. I that doesn't surprise me. I think that like there's always going to be these trends and you can adjust to the trends and that's also what I love about it. So that's good stuff. I think shout out to Lefty a minute ago for saying go where they ain't. Shout out to Chase Krim of Texas Roadshow, who on the Sports Card Strategy Show and Tell this past Thursday had a phenomenal submission where he was going where they ain't. He dropped just a ton of fire on that episode. You should go back and check it out if you didn't see it or didn't hear it. A lot of wisdom in that drop by Chase Krim, that submission. So I did a little bit of research, and this is not too far off from Lefty and Chad saying buy Messi. But, you know, Kylian Mbappe doesn't really have a spotlight on him right now. And it's not like you're ever going to get him for like a bargain basement price because he's Mbappe. But I think all of the things that Lefty said about Messi will apply in the future to Mbappe as well. And in the meantime, he's also like the best player in the world. I think they're kind of 1A, 1B. And he's 10 years younger than Messi. Or maybe even younger than that. So I think that there's specifically doing some research on Market Movers. You can get your first month for only $1 at marketmoversapp.com using the promo code NOOFFSEASON. Go check out Market Movers. Look for deals on Kylian Mbappe cards. He's someone who's you're always going to be able to move his cards. You're always going to be able to sell his cards, which is what you want. You're never going to have to explain to people who he is or why they should buy that card. He will be a guy that during certain cycles through the next 8 years at least, people will be looking to buy his cards. And so holding his cards is never going to be a bad thing. I think now is a good time to buy him. There's not a whole lot of attention on him. Even his 2020 Prism World Cup Silver from this past year, raw, is a pretty good deal right now. You can make an offer on those cards, get them for cheaper, get them graded if they look good. PSA 9 is going to give you a break even, Chad Gill style. And then you've got like even his 2017, probably one of his most recognizable cards right now, is down 16%. His 2017 Topps Chrome UEFA Champions League number 41 base PSA 10. It's got a pop of under 1,200. So, you know, being at a low right now over the last 14 days, not a bad thing to go out and get some Mbappe. We've got a lot to get to the rest of the show. Big announcement coming up, and then audience Q&A. So I'm going to move real quick into who we're selling. I'm still not selling anybody. I've got my folders on my desk, my desktop rather. And they're telling me who to sell in what months. The first month I'm really going to start selling is going to be August. I'm going to sell football. October, I'm going to sell basketball. December, I'm going to buy again. In the meantime, I am selling cards like my Michael Jordan PSA graded cards. I've got like a, you know, probably won't sell the Joe Montana until August, but I've got some Jordans and some other, you know, vintage cards that have been cracked and then graded by PSA that I will be selling in the meantime, just to kind of supplement some of the stuff that I want to do, some of the stuff that I want to buy. But anybody selling anything? Lefty, you selling anybody?
Yeah, I teased this earlier in the episode, but I am selling all of my PSA 9s. So here's why I say that. I think as the hobby gets more, like just gets bigger, and that there will be more submissions in the future, I think a 9 will be less and less valuable as we go on. And when I, so we've talked about this a lot, but my strategy is to flip up, kind of like, I'm like somewhere in the middle between Paul and Chad. I like to flip up so that I can have a long-term hold in a card that I could potentially sell my portfolio someday and like buy a house or something like that. So what I'm trying to do is buy cards that I can hold for a long time. And so if I want to hold a card for a long time, I think the future of how many cards will be graded in pop counts, PSA 10s are going to be some of the only cards, unless they're really high or really low serial numbered cards. I think PSA 10s is all I want. So I did a whole thing this week where I put like 15 PSA 9s that I have on eBay, even though it's not necessarily the right time to sell them all. And so strategically, as I look towards the future in what I want to have in my portfolio, I'm just getting rid of 9s altogether. So there's a very slim case that I'll keep anything other than a PSA 10, unless it's a card I've had for a long time. Like my show and tell this week, I have a PSA 3 of a Tom Brady card that I love, but it's my Tom Brady card from when I was a kid. So, but I also am selling, I got a yellow sapphire PSA 10, Tamar Johnson yellow. And I showed, from a previous win of the week, and that's at auction right now with a couple of days left. So, there's just some cards that I'm selling, but, none of my big cards.
Allowing you to move in to do some other things. I like that. Duke, we know you're selling a lot of cards literally in the shop and online, but is there anybody in the context of who you think the audience should be getting rid of right now that you want to throw out there?
Yeah, so three of these probably sound obvious, and then I got one that I'm going to throw back as a question to you guys. But obviously on the basketball side, I think the window is probably closed on Jimmy Butler. So if you haven't sold him already, I think they're going to lose tonight and it's going to be over. But even if they do, I don't think the public believes they're going to win. And so I think his value has peaked probably. But if you've been holding on to any Joker or Jamal Murray, I think get it. I don't know what you're waiting for. Get it up there now and get it sold now, because I think they're going to win tonight or 2 days from now and it's going to be over. Obviously, Ellie. Baseball players like that are in the white hot light, if you haven't sold Ellie yet. And then, so I had this guy on my list, and then Chad just said the opposite earlier in the show. So I was just wanted to throw, so I had Messi on here as a sell to capture like the current moment, but also I do get the long-term. So can both things be right? Can we sell him today because people are talking about him? But also if you want to hold him long-term, if you're going to sell him now, when's the right time to buy him back? Or is it just too late? So, and I'm not the soccer guy, so I would love to hear somebody's opinion on that.
Chad? I would buy some Messies from you.
Okay. Deal.
My opinion is that, yes, if you have Messi and you're looking to get out of Messi, now is a good time because there is hype around the MLS. However, if you're looking at getting into Messi, I think you make a perfect partner for the guy that wants to get rid of him, because – I think the time right now is to buy Messi because next MLS, I can't see Messi not exploding in the United States market here moving forward. So yes, Duke, and I think both are correct. You can't.
Yeah, I agree. I agree, Chad. I think it's a great question. It's all contextual. And this is why it's hard. This is like, I think we're trying to do a better job of this in our premium content at nooffseason.com to basically add the context around, like, if you've been holding Messi and you bought Messi a while ago, waiting for a moment and your goal is to profit, now is a great time to sell him because of all the things that Duke and Chad just said. But if your goal is maybe more like what Lefty's talking about, like, I would fall into the category of selling Messi right now, right? Because I'm impatient and I bought the cards to profit anyway. And I'm like, oh, Messi news, list them for sale. But if Lefty's trying to hold cards to put everything together and buy a house one day, which is awesome, by the way, that's sweet. That'd
be awesome content, by the way.
Yeah, let's
down the road when I buy a house.
Yeah, how I bought a house, like, you know,
how I bought a house with sports cards.
How I paid off my house in cash in 1 year. You know,
that is the most clickbaity YouTube video that I've ever heard of.
Yeah. Anyway, I think everybody gets my point. So I think Duke's right on the money. It's both depending on the context. So, Chad, I don't think we've got to who you're selling. Who are you selling right now?
No, I'll do it quick because I think we're going to run out of time today and I'm going to have to leave early before we get to everything. But two, Duke hit one. There's two people in baseball right now that their cards are up 300%+ in the last 90 days. One is Ellie De La Cruz. His Bowman Chrome first PSA 10s were selling for $40 little over 60 days ago, and they're now going for $140-ish. The other one is Luis Arias. That dude, right, is having incredible. A year. He's got a 400, 400, 400, 400, first player to have that this late into the season, I think in 12 or 15 years. Unbelievable year that he's having. He reminds me a little bit of like Ichiro, because the guy can't hit doubles and triples or home runs. He just slaps base hits wherever they're giving him. But, he is balling, and because of that, his cards. So his Bowman, he's got a 2017 Bowman first auto in raw condition on May 13th. You don't even have to go back 60 days. May 13th, that card sold for $40. One sold yesterday for $174. His PSA 10 in early May was $205, and over the weekend, one sold for $333. So if you, and for those that don't have the autos and the big dollar, here's an easy one. 2019 Topps update raw. Search the dollar bins. If you go to a card show, these were $0.50 cards. They're $5 a piece right now. That's a 500% increase in the last 60 days. Sometimes, you know, we think about making all this money that you got to do it with these autos and these big dollar cards. You can do it with dollar cards. You know, when a card goes from $1 to $5, that adds up too. So that's who I'm selling. Luis Arias and Ellie De La Cruz.
Great stuff. Yeah. And like Marty Neal in last show, the audience member did that exact thing that you're talking about with a bunch of different players, $1 to $5, $1 to $20, all that stuff. So, all right, we're going to get to the big announcement while we have Chad. So next show, we're going to do something super special. Next Monday, it's going to be how to pick a good break and avoid bad ones. But essentially the content, so that's going to be the theme of the show. But what we're actually going to do on the show is perform a break. So I bought a box from Just Breaks, Kendall's company, of Bowman U Inception. He's got it right in front of him. Kendall's going to hold it up real quick. So there's the Bowman U Inception. And then Chad is donating a box of his very own 1990 NBA hoops. I collected those sets as a kid, that exact set. I put together like multiple sets. Kendall's balancing it on his hat. That's don't ruin the cards there, Lefty.
Come hey, on these things are impeccably
yeah, they're
packaged in here.
I'm not worried about it. Anyway, we're going to do how to pick a good break and avoid bad ones. The way that we're going to do it is we're going to do a break on the show. Chad's shipping that box to Lefty today. I'm shipping my no off season break mat to Lefty, so we got a little branding in there. Lefty's gonna have his camera is not gonna be on his face, it's gonna be on the break. We're gonna perform a break live on the show, but it's gonna be educational around how you can incorporate breaking into your sports card strategy, which is not something we've done before. So I'm really excited about this. But the thing I think I'm most excited about on the show is that 26 of you are going to get the cards for free, and you're going to get them in our new premium pack, courtesy of Graybo's as well. I was able to, there we go. The premium pack boxes look sweet. So you're going to get, you're going to be the first 26 people to get a premium pack. Graybo's and nooffseason.com and the Sports Card Strategy Show are going to ship you your box. In your box, you're going to have all of the stuff that you would have gotten in your premium pack anyway, plus the cards that we pull in your break slot. So we don't have enough time today to announce all who's going to be in the break, but they're going to be basically the people who have been the premium members at nooffseason.com the longest, plus Mr. Ryan Barusky and Oh My Shoes, because they are, I think, undoubtedly two of the audience members that have been the most active in the chat. And so we want to reward them also with a free premium pack and a slot in the break. So basically, next show, I'm promoing it, and then I'm going to hand it over to Lefty to kind of talk Lefty and Chad to talk through some of the details of how this is going to work. But next show, just to recap, 24 of the longest nooffseason.com premium members plus Barusky and Oh My Shoes will be the people that will have the break slots. Lefty is going to run the break. Chad has also put a lot of work into how this is going to run. All right, Lefty, I'm going to hand it over to you to kind of talk through how this is going to work and why we're doing it this way.
So pretty exciting. We are, I'm going to give you guys some break knowledge. This is what it's called, a mixer. So, because we've got multiple different products, multiple different teams and everything, we're going to have to do things a little bit uniquely for this, especially when there's Bowman U Inception that don't have a don't have professional teams associated with these cards. They will be going off of, or they'll be in their college uniforms. So what we're going to do is we're going to divide them up into 26 different break slots, which we've talked about just now, but we're going to associate each one with a letter of the alphabet, and then each one with at least one NBA team. So for instance, you will have each slot will be like the letter A, the Bulls, and that will be your break spot. So there will be one team, or there will be one break slot that has two NBA teams, because in this product, they just didn't have the same amount of value. So there will be one break spot that gets a letter, the Bucks and the Kings as well. So the way we're going to divide that up is the first letter of every card that comes out of this Bowman Inception will go towards, of their first name, will go towards that person. So whoever draws a W in the break, if they were, or a V in the break, would be Victor Wembanyama's cards. So Caitlin Clark would be a C, et cetera, et cetera. So that's how the break will work for the Bowman Inceptions. We had to get it a little creative because there's so many teams involved. But other than that, all the other cards from these boxes will be shipped to you based on which team that you have, or which letter that you have in the Bowman Inception break.
Absolutely. Great overview there, Lefty. Chad, anything you want to add while we still have you?
No, just that I want to clarify where Paul said it's the people that have been with the show the longest. It's probably true, but it's, if you want to get into, you know, we might do this again in the future, but if you want to get in on it, it's for the people that have renewed their free listings. We have 24 of them that have renewed or upped and paid for something other than their free listing to continue with the show, which this is a way for us to say thank you to them. And then Shoes and Barusky. So if I don't understand Shoes and Barusky, what are you waiting for? Get signed back up, man.
Yeah, I feel like Shoes signed up, and he's in the stage of it hasn't auto renewed yet.
Oh, gotcha.
And I don't know, maybe Barusky's in there too. But yeah, Chad, getting called out by the doctor, guys. Come on now. But anyway, yeah, Chad's right. We're rewarding the people that have renewed, and then a couple loyal audience members. And just a reminder, so hopefully this isn't confusing to follow, but anybody who, like, we give away a free trial. Some of you are in a year free trial. People have reached out to me and paid me via PayPal because they believe that it's, they should have to pay for it. So I really appreciate those donations. But then there's other people that are in the free 30-day trial period. If and when you do auto renew and pay for the subscription, you also will get a premium pack from nooffseason.com Sports Card Strategy Show and Graybo's. And in the premium pack is hobby packs, retail packs, slabs, gear, singles from Graybo's, from nooffseason.com. Just more of a reason to stay in the family, more of a reason to support us. A lot of it's coming back to you. Borowski will sign up soon. Doctor's orders. That's great stuff. Okay, real quick, before we get into the audience Q&A, and there's not that much audience Q&A today. So, Chad, if you've got to bounce, if anyone has to bounce due to the time, I totally understand. Hopefully, audience will not bounce and stay here. But before we get into that, I do want to give a shout out to Chad Dyer. Chad Dyer is a new name in the chat. Good to see you. Found us through Andy's Football Card Quest. Love the pod, and thanks for the baseball help so far. So I wanted to call this out, not only because Chad's a new audience member in the chat. We also have Scott Lawrence in the chat, who's a loyal audience member. Good to see him. Good to see everybody in the chat today. But I wanted to give a shout out to Andy Kaysen, Football Card Quest. Definitely some of the best content you can get out there. Especially in terms of football cards. He's just very inspiring with how he puts together his content, how he thinks. Very, very helpful. If you want, you know, we try to do all we can as well, but if you want to get into, like, if you're into fantasy football and you want to sort of use your fantasy football passion to parlay that into some card stuff, that's exactly what Andy does. And he's amazing at it. So, Chad Dyer, good to see you. Andy co-hosts the Football Card Strategy Show here on the channel. So more stuff coming from Andy as well. But just wanted to shout out Andy in the chat and Chad. All right, audience Q&A. Let's get into it. So this is actually breaking insights from Ryan Painter, who is a premium member, and he contributes to nooffseason.com. So I think that this goes along with what we just talked about with the upcoming How to Pick a Good Break show. So he's basically... some pointers here from Ryan, knowing where your boxes come from. If he's buying into a break, he wants to understand, for example, if it's optic, he wants to understand, like, if downtown has been pulled from that case. We'll probably talk more about that on Monday's show. He also wants to understand, he also wants us to understand that the bigger the break, the better the deal. So while not all breakers are the same, they do share one common principle. They're looking to make a profit. Breaking takes time and effort, no matter the size of the break. Bottom line, the breaker is going to get his. So we'll allow Lefty a chance to comment on this. If you're in a break that only has $200 worth of product, the breaker will have to mark that up to get his. He's not going to do that all that work for a $20 profit. So if you're paying a lot more for a series of small breaks, than you are in one large break. The large break is a more economical way to approach breaking. He also says, check the case hit checklist. Every product's checklist is vast. It's always a good idea to check which teams do not have any chance at a case hit. So we'll get more into that, but I think, you know, good stuff there from Ryan Painter, and I wanted to give him a shout out for submitting that to me. So again, next week's show, How to Pick a Good Break, coming next Monday. Hope all of you tune into that. Even if you're not eligible to win the cards, I think it'll be a very educational show. All right, Paul Schmidt's Buckeye Dill is next. So we talked last week on breaking up cards into different groups, potentially by era, when submitting bulk to PSA. I just basically never thought of that and put everything all in one order and maybe have kind of screwed the pooch. Chad said, yes, you have screwed the pooch. We're going to let Chad elaborate on this. So Paul basically says, let's assume you had 40 cards to submit, 20 of each baseball and football, with 10 of each being modern and 10 of each being vintage. With this scenario, would it be better to send in the baseball and football separately with mixed eras, or separate them and send in by era, like 20 modern cards, including 20 baseball and 10 football? Maybe I'm overthinking this, but anyway, to improve my odds is worth the effort. Second question is in regards to pre-grading cards like mosaic football, pink camo, etc. I really like the color variation, but these seem to be tough to pre-grade. I'm getting better at pre-grading cards such as optic football, but with the mosaic parallels are tough. I'm wondering if anyone from our group of collectors has experience in what to look for on Mosaic cards. Chad, while we still have you, why don't you answer both of these for us?
Well, first of all, I want to preface and make sure that when we're talking about sending them in for into the eras, that does not increase your chances of getting a higher gem rate. I'm talking completely, totally about speed. When you can submit cards in a bulk of a similar era, it allows the grader to grade them much faster. My example would be my Jordan Walker sub that I just sent in. It's due back to me today. I submitted that. I mailed it out from my mailbox on May 15th. I'm going to get it back today on June 12th. Less than 30 days, including mail time. It's easy for a grader to do that because all the cards are the same, right? So once they get their template out of what they're looking for, it's just boom, 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 done.
Back in less than a month too.
Yeah. So if you have enough bulk to do it, the more specific you can get, the faster your cards will come back. Does it make a difference? Yes, it does, but it doesn't have to be. So if you had to pick and choose because you're not sending in 100 or, you know, whatever cards and you're breaking them up into 20 card subsets, it's more important to do it by era than it is by sport. So if you have 20 cards that are 2020 to 2022, or even the 2022, 2023 for the $15 special, but they're baseball, basketball, and football or hockey or what have you, long as they're in that range, they'll come back pretty quickly. If you can separate them even out further to do by sport, they'll come back even quicker yet.
Yeah, and MW's in the comments echoing your thoughts on this. And I think the reason why this happens, right, Chad, is because they will send cards to different graders based on the experience of the grader. So yes. I'm going to paraphrase this. I'm not going to get it 100% on point, but I think generally it's that the more ultra modern cards can go to the less experienced graders, and then the vintage cards will need to go through to not only a more experienced grader, but probably spend more time in QA too. So yes. if you're breaking up the submission, like Chad said, based on the era and not necessarily the sport, you can kind of infer like, okay, you know, experienced graders are going to take certain eras. That's kind of why there's different eras in the grading choices as well, and probably different price points. So if you're going bulk value and you're splitting them up like that, like Chad said, you're increasing the speed. So that's a great question. Second question on the pre-grading, Chad, real quick, explain what pre-grading is first, and then talk about if you have any tips for the audience based on Buckeye Dill's question of Mosaic specifically.
Well, pre-grading is taking a loop or a magnification of some sort and giving it a numerical number based on what you see. 10 times magnification is what they use when they grade a card. So if you have anything that can magnify a card 10 times, that is what the graders are looking at. So you can see the corners, the edges, you know, what looks to the naked eye to be perfect under 10 times magnification. You're going to see the little bit of fraying or edge wear, the chipping on the cards with the dark borders. And then to get a little template, you can get them for $5 or $6 on eBay that lays over the top of the card for centering. Centering is a big deal on these cards. However, now the cards without borders, those become really difficult, which is what he's talking about in the mosaics. The mosaics do not have borders, so they are very difficult to pre-grade. You have to, the way I do it is I pull up a PSA 10 and I lay my grading over the top of a PSA 10 and then I compare everything to the PSA 10. That's how I do that. But
nice.
Hope that
helps. Chad, if you and Lefty could text me or email me the links off of eBay to buy the loop and the ruler or the centering tool.
Yeah,
I'll put them on the website. I'll put them at nooffseason.com. You guys could then click to buy them off of eBay. I need to do that as well. Upcoming question.
I gotta run. I wanted to stay on for Buckeye Deal because we had emailed that. So
yeah,
I do have to run. Thanks everybody. Have a great week. Looking forward to the next show.
Bye,
thanks,
Chad.
Keep up the good work, man. Chad's killing it on the show and on the website. So check out more of his work at nooffseason.com. Okay. So next question also is in line with one of the questions that we have in the chat from Lone Star Cards. So I'm going to, for the sake of time, kind of combine everything. And I do want to give a quick shout out to Ryan Painter. So Borusky says Ryan Painter's Sky Moore play is awesome at nooffseason.com. Great detail and analysis. So Ryan Painter's pocket is the $20 play of the day. He's got a few of them up there at nooffseason.com. He's doing a great job. Shout out Ryan Painter. Go check out his stuff at nooffseason.com. I agree. The Sky Moore play is awesome, as are his other $20 plays of the day. Kind of Andy Kaysen-esque, actually. Pretty darn good. Chad got called into surgery. The doctor got called into surgery. Okay.
Chad go crack some slabs.
Chad has got to crack some slabs, which we will be doing for free at the National Booth 3216. Longtime listener on Spotify, Chad Power. Good to see you finally able to make it to the show live. Amazing content and appreciate the content week in and week out. We love you, Chad Power. Glad you made it. Submit some questions, Paul at nooffseason.com. All right. This is from Joseph Falcone. He is a premium member, just like Buckeye Dill. Again, premium members at nooffseason.com will get their questions answered on the show 100% of the time if you are a premium member. Is now the time to be selling my Ellie De La Cruz PSA 10s since he's been called up and doing well? If so, should I be keeping a few or get rid of them all? We kind of answered this earlier on the show. I know my answer, but Lefty, what do you think?
I would keep a few.
Depends on how many you have. If you have some, definitely at least keep one.
If you have more than five, keep one.
There you go. And then sell the rest, because look at the chart. I mean, this is why we do what we do. So if you've been holding them, we've been talking about Ellie for a long time, for over a year. I think over a year we've been talking about Ellie.
Yeah.
So like this is the moment. Like the moment is the call up. We also say this every time. Like the moment is the call up. So yes. Sell your Ellie De La Cruz.
I do think he loses in the rookie of the year race, and that's what some people are waiting for, is will he be a rookie of the year? I do think he loses that race to Corbin Carroll. So,
and even if he wins it, like your point last year, Jeremy Pena, like you sold the Jeremy Pena cards and the J-Rod cards when they got the initial call up, and you sold them for more than you would have sold them for if you would have held them to the other markers, right?
Yep.
Okay, so actually, before I answer this, so the comment, the question in the comments, want to give Lone Star Cards TX. Is it still wise to buy raw firsts of James Wood? I believe this is Spencer Jones, Jackson Curio, and Evan Carter, and grade them.
Yes.
Yes. All right, moving on to the next question.
Wood is going to be electric. He's my next Ellie De La Cruz guy. So
like
there
six,
you go.
Seven.
Any one time. There you go.
Any one time. Go buy some James Wood. Okay, cool. And I'm buying Jackson Churio still. So Ryan King. Okay. I wanted to get to this one, saving it for the last question of the day. He's been a premium. Ryan, you're going to get the premium pack. You've been a premium member. You've paid your dues literally. What happened to clicking on the players and getting the scoop on each? So he's talking about at nooffseason.com, the player profiles. What happened to them? The links just bring you to their cards on eBay now. What happened? And then he's also followed up with, where's the buy, sell, hold? Okay, great questions. A lot going on here. I'll let Lefty elaborate before we wrap up the show and give Duke and Lefty a chance to say their parting shots. But okay, I'll try to keep this as brief as possible. I've already replied to Ryan in an email, but I wanted to say this to the entire audience. When you launch a product, you have to make adjustments based on what's the best way to provide value to the entire audience. And when you're doing premium content, you have to evaluate since time is a factor, how much time are you spending spinning your wheels on some content just to have content? And then what is the most valuable out of that to achieving the goal? The goal is making money flipping sports cards. So Lefty and I put our heads together. I was thinking about it for a long time. Lefty kind of helped me come up with some, I don't want to say final decisions, but some decisions for sort of phase two of the product. So phase one was like, let's build out 300 plus player profiles. In the midst of doing that, let's give everybody a reward, a risk, an opportunity, a buy, sell, hold, the cards to buy, and then the play. What we realized though, is that sort of goes against our main premise, which is like narrowing your focus. Like, we think you should have a narrow focus when you're buying at any given time. We don't think that like in a week or a month period, you should buy just everything. We think that like at least in a week or in a month or in a quarter, you should be very narrowly focused on what you're buying, so that when then you'll have a selling cycle that will complement that narrow focused buying cycle to where you can profit. Because if I go out and buy all the quarterbacks in June, I'm not going to make a profit. I'm not going to make as much of a profit in August when I sell all of them, because there will be, in theory, just as many losses as there are wins. So this sort of overall investing strategy, combined with the fact that we need to spend our time wisely putting out content, led us to the fact that, and feedback from the members. Feedback from the members basically said, we want more of the play. Like, just, we don't care about all the other fluff. We just want the play, the play, the play, right? So we took that and basically said, and people like the rankings. So let's have rankings for the premium members, and then let's just have the play for the premium members. And so the articles essentially that we've been ripping through, there's a ton of new articles. There's more relevant premium content on the website in the last like 6 weeks than there was in the previous year and a half before that, because we've focused on how to make money buying and flipping sports cards. In the meantime, we've had to pare down the profiles, the rankings, and the buy, sell, hold, which is what Ryan King is asking about. We are going to build back the other stuff that was there. It's just going to be more strategic than what it was, where before it was like, this format, we need to have this format for every single player. Lefty and I were like, not necessarily the most valuable. What did I miss, Lefty? What do you think on that?
I mean, it's just allowing us to put more time into things that are going to directly make you money. That we were spending just a ton of time getting all these updates replicated all the time. You know, it's hard to keep up with 300 plus profiles when there's two of us, you know, like,
yeah. And we just didn't think it was valuable to say, like, for example, you can go get information on the status of Jamal Murray anywhere, but what we want to give you about Jamal Murray is how to make money buying his card. So that's why we eliminated like the reward, the risk. We kind of already know that. Like, everybody kind of already knows that stuff. Not everybody, but what we want to be at, I think the other part, Lefty, I'm cutting you off, is like, there's so many people doing so many things in the hobby. Our niche in the hobby is to help you make money flipping sports cards. You're going to get a lot of enjoyment and entertainment about a lot of the other collecting and breaking and buying and selling singles and not making money and going to card shops and card shows. You're going to get all of that through our content. But what we're really focused on with the premium product is going to be that helping put you in a position to profit from it. So I cut you off, Lefty. Duke, I'm going to hand it over to you, because we got a long show today. You've hung in here with us. You've done a great job as always. I don't know if you have anything to add on any of these last points that I've made, or if you just want to give your parting shot, but what do you think of the show today, and what do you want to say to the audience?
Always excited to be here with you guys. I love y'all's podcast as a fan, as a customer, and always exciting to be on it. I got four quick points as I'm signing off here. Number one, very excited about this weekend. Mr. Hickey coming to Richmond. Got a lot of fun stuff, class for the kids, live show from Richmond, and just cool to have you here. Number two, I think if you didn't think that Dr. Chad Gill is already a cyborg because of his encyclopedic knowledge of all things sports cards, the fact that his motion detector doesn't detect him moving means he's a cyborg. He's sitting perfectly still, and then he has to, like, the robot has to say move arm so that the light comes back on. Number three, Drip. So like, we're streaming 5 nights a week on Drip. Come see us on the Drip app. And then finally, Paul and I, well, it's a little teaser. We're in early discussions on at the National, maybe that Thursday night, some kind of meetup, possibly a trading night, working through the details. So all sports card strategy folks, stay tuned for that, because Graybo's is very likely to sponsor something fun. Maybe it involves trading, maybe it involves cocktails or light appetizers if you're not a drinker. But either way, excited about that.
I'm so glad you mentioned that. And I'm gonna have like a sign-up sheet to RSVP at nooffseason.com. That way Duke and I can get a head count for that and we can blow it out for you guys. Also, if you go to nooffseason.com and you don't see the sign-up sheet yet, just email me at paul@nooffseason.com. Just like if you're listening to this and you know you're coming to the National, you want to hang out with Lefty, Duke, myself, Chad, Barusky, others from the nooffseason.com fam, Chase Krim, email me at paul@nooffseason.com. Duke and I are going to hook you up with the great experience at that meet and greet. It's really appreciate you doing that, Duke. So looking forward to seeing you this weekend. Lefty, take us home, man. What do you got for us at the end of this Power Packed show?
I do have a little something for us. I'm going to talk about just briefly somebody that I think deserves our attention here. Angel Reese signing at the National. I think this is a big deal. She has a Sports Illustrated for Kids card in one of the issues that we have gotten recently. This is all about her and the LSU and all that kind of stuff. She also has a Sports Illustrated for Kids card in this issue right here. I think she has the capabilities of being a big star. She's going to continue to do what she does, but also there's some residual hype around her as well. She's the first college athlete to be represented in the Sports Illustrated swimsuit edition. And she's also doing some big media things as well. And so for her signing at the National, doing some other bigger things, I think that car could potentially pop. So maybe that's another play for the Sports Illustrated for Kids cards. So there you go.
I sent my Angel Reese in for grading among the bulk submission. So I'm with you on that. Michael Miller in the house. Good to see you. He is doing a phenomenal, he's done a great job at nooffseason.com with his content contributions. Appreciate you joining. And Mark Smadja has been submitting a lot of questions to me. Love you, Mark. Appreciate your support. This is the dude right here that sent me the donation, because Mark said he believes that the free year trial period is way too long and it's unfair to our team and the work that we put in so that people could get it for a year for free. And Mark sent me $100 on PayPal. Great
Thank
guy.
You, Mark.
Appreciate
Thank
you, Mark. You're the man. Glad you could catch a live stream of the show. We'll do whatever we can to help you out, Mark, and the rest of the audience. Everybody, thanks so much for watching and listening. Sonia backstage in the studio. Hopefully this wasn't too painful for you, your first show, but looking forward to have you being part of the team to help improve the overall experience. For Chad, for Kendall, for Duke Denny one time, I'm Paul Hickey with nooffseason.com. Thanks so much for watching and listening. Have a great day. Here's the rock music. See you soon. Woo! Don't forget to get your sports card strategy show and sell submissions in to me. Paul@nooffseason.com.